ladies and gentlemen. Hope you had a nice, restful intermission. I know that I did. Before we continue on with the show tonight, we're going to hear from our musical acts one more time and another word from another one of our sponsors. But before we do that, I just wanted you to know that during the break, I was speaking with some fellow thespians. They said they were University of theater students from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, just a little north of the border. And they wanted me to tell you that if you're ever in their neck of the woods, you should check out the Broadway of Madison, University Theater, theater that's not safe. And they wanted me to let you know that right now they are in rehearsal for a production of On the Razzle by Tom Stoppard. And they wanted me to tell you that it's a hilarious story of two shopkeepers angling for adventure in turn-of-the-century Vienna that features escaping lovers, mistaken identities, and one swanky French dinner. So if you are in their neck of the woods, please get your tickets now. Okay, let's bring to the microphone one more time from Paducah, Kentucky, the Straw Hat Boys.
Thank you very much. As you remember, we are the Straw Hat Boys from Paducah, Kentucky. And my name's Bill.
I'm Will.
And this is our brother Phil.
And we're also single.
All right. Well, this next song, this is an audience participation sing-along, so I want to hear y'all singing. This one's called Polly Wally Doodle All the Day. All righty? Ready, fellas? Here we go. A one, a two, a one, two, three.
Well, I went downtown for to see my gal sing Polly Wally Doodle all the day. That's how she is, a spunky gal sing Polly Wally Doodle all the day. Fairly well, fairly well, fairly well, my fairy bay. For to go to Louisiana, for to see my Susiana sing a Polly Wally Doodle all the day.
Everybody!
Fairly well, fairly well, fairly well, my fairy bay. Born in Louisiana, born to see my Susiana sing a Polly Wally Doodle all the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Straw Hat Boys. And now, Old World Beauty Cream presents our star performer, Miss Estelle Collins, who has a few words regarding complexion for our more gentle listeners. Estelle?
Good evening, ladies. As many of you out there in Radioland know, chilly winter winds can dry out a face, transforming natural beauty into something, well, less than attractive. Well, when I am with friends going out on the town, or even preparing for an evening's performance, I always hydrate and moisturize my skin with Old World Beauty Cream. Based on a traditional formula traced back to ancient empresses, Old World Beauty Cream harnesses the power of goddesses, creating smooth, silky, and soft skin, while also protecting it from the damaging effects of wind and cold. Old World Beauty Cream, a classic combination of ancient elements designed for the modern woman.
One, two. Hey, 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 hey.
And, of course, Old World Beauty Cream. And now, for the final time tonight, we bring again to the microphone our very own Gumdrop Gal singing Dream a Little Dream of Me. And I hope they do.
Stars shining bright above you, night breezes seem to whisper, I love you. Birds singing in the sycamore tree, dream a little dream of me. Say nighty night and kiss me, Just hold me tight and tell me you'll miss me while I'm alone and blue as can be. Dream a little dream of me. Stars fading, but I linger on, dear, still craving your kiss. I'm longing to linger till dawn, dear, just saying this. Sweet dreams till sunbeams find you. Sweet dreams that leave all worries behind. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me. Ba-da-da, dream a little dream of me. Sweet dreams.
The gumdrop dance, ladies and gentlemen.
One moment, please. And now, Old World Beauty Cream presents Act Two of David Mamet's The Water Engine.
Who said that if everyone just acted in his own best interests, this would be paradise on Earth?
They're going to get him now. They're going to get him now. The whole thing will go down. It all goes down when we have given up the things we own.
Another chapter, yes, of Century of Progress.
We must all be careful.
You'll remember when we last saw the inventor Charles Lang. He had just left the offices of Morton Gross.
Down, we're going down.
That people just could die of loneliness.
They could?
Well, this doctor said they could. I read it.
Where?
A magazine.
They must have something else.
What?
A disease.
No, it said people just could die. You know, if they were lonely.
I don't think so.
Well, I read it.
Where?
Main floor.
Your name Lang?
What?
I said, is your name Lang?
Who are you?
This way, please.
Wait, who are you? Wait!
Hey!
Who are you? Wait! All these men are taking me! Wait!
One side, please!
Who are you?
Stand aside, please, both police!
You're the police! You're the police!
One side, please! You got him?
Wait,
yeah, I got
him. Here, you won't do
hey,
this! You stop. Don't
hey,
do this!
Stop that
don't
man!
Stop!
I'll take the box!
Stop that man running! And so then, Bernie, on the train, they found this man who had been the designer.
Of the train?
Yes, of the train.
He built it.
He designed it.
Uh-huh.
So they said, they're late, and no one in the crew could fix the engine.
Yeah.
They tried and tried.
Uh-huh.
And so this man said, well, let me have a look at it. He took a light and looked at all the engine, and he said, give me a hammer. He took the hammer, and he found this place, this one place, and gave a little tap. And boom, the engine started right up. Chugga, 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 chugga. The next week comes a letter for the president of the railroad. A bill from this man who had fixed the locomotive.
How much?
But that's what I'm telling you. $15,000.
No.
He telephones the man. He says, how come you charged me $15,000 for one little hammer tap?
Hiya, Mr. Lang.
Well, how are you?
Hello.
We haven't seen you. How you doing?
Fine.
Good.
Do you have change for a dollar?
Sure, Bernie.
Yes.
Change for a dollar. You've been to the fair since we spoke?
No, I haven't, no. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're working hard?
Yes.
I know, yep. Close the register.
I'm sorry.
The Chicago Daily News!
Hello, I'd like to speak to someone. Someone on the city desk.
That'd be another. Who?
Oh, I don't care. The editor. I don't care.
Okay, I'm ringing.
Pops wants to know if you would like some coffee.
What?
That line is busy.
Oh, wait. Thank you. What? I'm sorry. What?
You want a cup of coffee?
No. Thank you.
I can ring now.
Thank you.
City desk.
Oh, yes. Who is this?
This is Dave Murray. What can I do for you?
You're a reporter.
Yes, what can I do for you?
I would like to speak with you.
All right. About what?
Oh, my name is Lang.
L-A-N-G?
L-A-N-G. I'm an inventor.
Of what?
I have... things. Things. I'm in some trouble.
What kind? Are you sure you don't want the science editor?
Yes. No, please listen to me. I've invented an engine. Some people are stealing my engine.
Uh-huh.
No, these people are trying to take my machine.
You all right?
Oh, please, I swear to you.
Yeah.
All the police are out. They've got them looking for me. Please, I have to talk to you.
It's okay, send it down.
Oh, I have to talk to you.
What? Yeah, all right. Come in.
No, I can't come in.
You say the cops are after you.
Yes.
For what? All right.
Can you meet me?
Yes.
Thank you.
9 o'clock.
No, before that.
Look, I can't unless you come in.
The zoo. Can you meet me at the Lincoln Park Zoo at 9 o'clock?
All right.
The zoo. God bless you.
9 o'clock, Lincoln Park Zoo. Well, a free press is the first defense for liberty. Or words to that effect.
Oh, come on, Rita, answer the phone. Oh, please be there. Rita?
Yes, so where are you?
Are you all right?
Yes. Please, Charlie, I'm so worried.
Now, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. I'm seeing this man. I'm going to tell the newspapers.
When?
This evening.
Come here now.
I can't.
But I'm frightened.
You'll be fine. Just keep the doors and windows locked, and I'll be there when I've met with the reporter.
Will you be all right?
Yes.
I'm so worried about you, Charlie.
Everything will be fine. I'm going to go now, and I'll be there when I've met with them.
Yes.
Everything will be all right.
When we are famous.
Yes.
And we are safe.
I'm going to go now.
What?
Who is it?
Mrs. Varitz from upstairs.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Can I get you anything?
Wait. Mrs. Varitz?
Huh? Can I come in?
Yes. Please. Come in.
Have you seen this man?
Oh, sure.
When?
All the time. He lives around here.
He been in here?
Sure.
When?
Regularly. He lives in the neighborhood.
He been in today?
No.
Thanks.
Call in.
Where's your phone?
Oh, it's, broken.
Thanks.
Stay in the booth there, Mr. Lang. They're right across the street and they can see you. They're policemen.
I don't know.
Bernie!
What, Pops?
Get down here.
I'm coming.
He'll take you out the back, out through the cellar.
Thank you.
That's all right.
What, Pops?
You go show Mr. Lang the way out through the cellar.
What's up?
Just do it. Will you be all right?
I'm seeing this man.
He'll help you.
Yes, I'm meeting him tonight. I'll be all right. I only have to wait till then.
Are you in trouble, Mr. Lang?
My God, they're coming back. Go, go!
Come on.
Those men all met a violent death. The railroad tycoon, not 5 months from that day, was stricken with a rare wasting disease and died within the year. The Match King took his own life, jumping from a building he himself had built. The financier died at the hands of gamblers. All these men, that power in one hotel room that night, here in Chicago.
And now we leave the Hall of Science, the hub of our Century of Progress exposition. Science, yes. The greatest force for good and evil we possess. The concrete poetry of humankind. Our thoughts, our dreams, our aspirations rendered into practical and useful forms. Our science is ourself. What are our tools but wishes? Much is known, and much will yet be known, and much will not be known. Those wishing re-entry to the hall at half price, come and get a ticket. This is our last tour tonight. Closing up.
Oh, yes, I know. Thank you.
Are you all right?
What?
Are you all right? I've seen you've been here since this afternoon. You okay, pal?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Well, they're locking up in 20 minutes. Come on. I'll walk you to the gate.
What?
Come on. We'll take a walk.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'll check out.
Well, I have to make a telephone call.
You hold on. I'll be right back. I have to punch out.
All right, I do know what time it is.
8:15.
Rocket travel. The travel to the stars, the wonder of the universe at last within our grasp. Men and women walking on the moon within the lifetime of our children. Who knows what they will encounter? By the year 2000, travel to the moon and planets. Souvenirs available at the main gate. The rocket ship. The travel of the future. The rocket ship.
Rita?
Hello?
Hello? Who is this?
Hello, who is this?
Charles Lang.
Charles.
Who am I talking to? Who is this?
This is Mrs. Varet.
Mrs. Varet.
From upstairs.
Well, where's Rita?
You better come over here.
Where is she?
Something went on.
What?
You better call the cops.
Well, what happened?
Call the police and they'll tell you.
You tell me.
They took her.
They took her?
Yeah.
Well, who took her?
I don't know.
Well, what happened, for Christ's sake?
They came in here.
Who?
I don't know. I told them already.
What?
I heard these noises.
Yes,
I heard the screaming. My husband. We came downstairs. The door was broke. There was nobody here.
Well, the police came?
Yes, they came. They said if you should call, to call them up. A special number. Hold on, I'm going to give it to you. Lakeview 7320.
7320.
You better call them. Or tell me where you are, they said. And they'll come and get you.
What?
They'll come and get you. I'm only cleaning up in here. Is that all right?
Yes.
Can I go home now?
The fair is closing. Please proceed to the exits on the north and west sides of the lagoon.
Mr. Gross's office!
Let me talk to Oberman.
To who, sir?
Let me talk to him.
One moment.
Hello?
Where is she?
Good evening!
Where is she?
We can help you find her.
Can you?
We can find her.
Don't hurt her.
Do you have the plans?
I have them.
Do you have them with you?
I have them.
Bring them.
Just don't hurt her.
Now, we understand that you had tentatively scheduled an appointment with a journalist this evening.
I won't.
But you see how that would not be in your own best interests.
Yes. Let me talk to her.
One moment.
Hello?
Rita?
Charlie!
Are you all right?
What?
Are you all right?
I'm all right. Yes, Charlie, I am all right.
I'm going to see you in 1 hour. I'm going to bring the plans and then we can go home.
What? What? No!
No, you don't understand. When I bring the plans, they're going to let you go.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
No, you don't understand. They're going to hurt you if I do not bring them in.
I understand, yes.
Where we met last time in 1 hour.
Don't you bring them, Charles. They're not going to make it. They will just destroy it.
Hello? Hello?
The fair is closing. The fair is closing. The fair is closed.
Lord of the Isles, the celebrated locomotive, attained speeds in excess of 100 miles an hour for the year 1880 on the broad gauge steel and stone way between Bath and London.
We could just think ourselves from one place to another,
she said.
Someday, if there is hydrogen and oxygen, if we can free the molecules in water, Charles.
We are all made of molecules.
The fair is closing.
We are all made of light, she said. Machines could extract moisture from the air and fly indefinitely.
The fair is closing. Please proceed to the exits on the north and west sides of the lagoon. Lost children can be claimed on the south end of the architecture building. The employees and exhibitors of the Century of Progress Exposition hope that you have had a good day at the fair and invite you all to return soon and often.
All done?
What?
Are you done?
Yes.
Come on, I'll walk you to the gate. You look glum.
What?
You don't look good.
No, no.
Oh, well, here. This will cheer you up. Look at what I got in the mail this morning. The ancient mysteries of Egypt and the East are all within the mind of men.
What is it?
Well, it's a chain letter. Who knows the real power of man's soul? Much good, much pain and misery is caused by our beliefs. Great wealth and fame stand just beyond your grasp. All civilization stands on trust. All people are connected. No one can call back, but one man does.
What?
I'm sorry?
Could you read that part again?
Sure. All people are connected.
Yes, yes.
No one can call back, but one man does.
Yes! Well, that's right.
Much is known, and much will yet be known, and much will not be known. Write the names of three friends at the bottom of this list. Send $1. Oh, can you beat this? I'm supposed to send $1 to three people I've never heard of. Well, here we are.
Yes.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right now.
Did I cheer you up a little?
Yes. You've helped me more than you can know.
Well, good night.
Wait, I want to show you something.
What?
These are plans.
Well, you'll have to tell me what they mean.
It's an engine.
Uh-huh.
And it uses water for its only fuel. I made it. I saw it work.
The quintessence of those things which made our country great. How much more?
They need the two columns.
How much more?
200 words.
All right. The Century of Progress, sign and symbol of the great essential strength of the free market. All around the nation's founder and decay, the East turns red, and senile Europe limps on from day to day in search of that lost leader, that forgotten vigor never to return. For Europe is the old land, and this is the new. The West is golden with the promise of prosperity to come. The principles which made this country made it great, as it is great, as once again it shall be great, with trust, with power, with a mutual recognizance that
they'll
we...
They'll take it out.
With a mutual understanding of the simple grace and eternal power of the bargain made and kept to. Here, now, in Chicago, Phoenix of communities, we once again say, I will, and rise from the ashes, hardened, strengthened, turned towards that new day, the day of progress, the 200 years of progress.
Mm-hmm.
The Century of Progress Exposition enters its new life, too, in its second year. Let us continue to support it. 30.
Brilliant.
Thank God I don't have to sign it. What have I got on this evening?
Meeting with that Mr. Lang.
Oh, right, right. They stole my engine.
That's it.
Meet me afterward?
Maybe.
11?
Maybe.
I'll call you.
Maybe.
What happened to this nation? Or did it ever exist?
Did it exist with its freedoms and slogan?
The buntings, the gold-headed standards, the songs!
With equality, liberty, in the West they plow under wheat. Where is America? I say it does not exist.
And I say that it never existed. It was all but a myth.
A great dream of avarice.
the dream of a gentleman farmer.
Where are the plans?
Where's my sister?
And I say that we live in the final time.
My sister is not here?
You come with me.
With want in the midst of abundance.
Oh, you'll take me to her.
Yes.
As they turn to war in old Europe and we live in fear at home.
When I give you the plan.
Yes.
When America irrevocably ceases to be Europe.
And commences the fulfillment of its malevolent destiny as
the new world.
Where are the plans?
I'm going to tell you now.
Anybody else who wants to speak? Anybody?
What?
I put them in the mailbox, Mr. Oberman.
You what?
You heard me.
Do you know what you have done?
Yes.
Do you know that we are going to find them?
No, you'll never find them.
Oh, yes, we will, Mr. Lang. For you will tell us where they are. Believe me, you will tell us where they are.
No. I think you will find that that is not the truth.
Anybody want to speak? Does anybody want to speak?
Some more coffee?
Thank you.
So where was I? Oh yes. So this letter comes.
Yeah?
For the man who owns the railroad.
Uh-huh.
It's a bill. For $15,000.
No!
Yeah. So he calls the guy up and asks.
My boy's taking care of you, ma'am.
Yes, Mr. Wallace.
Good boy. Good. So he calls the guy up. Keep going.
And so he calls the guy and asks, how come $15,000 for one hammer tap?
Yeah?
And so the guy says, I give you the hammer tap for nothing. And the $15,000...
Yeah?
The $15,000 was for knowing where to tap. Huh?
Yeah?
For knowing where to tap.
Yeah, for knowing where to...
Thank you.
Mr. Wallace.
Yeah?
You've got a good boy here.
I know it. Have a nice day.
The Daily News.
Give me rewrite.
What?
Rewrite.
Oh, one moment, please.
Rewrite.
Irma?
Yeah?
Dave Murray.
How are you?
Fine. Ready?
Yeah, shoot.
Waukegan, Illinois, David M. Murray, special to the Daily News. Today's date, 7:30... make it 6:30 a.m. The mutilated bodies of a man and woman were discovered in the early morning hours on a stretch of industrial lake frontage 5 miles north of Waukegan today, period. The man and woman both were white and in their early 20s, period. The cause of death in both cases appears to have been drowning, comma, but both bodies bear signs of quite extensive injury, period. The Illinois State Police and the Lake County Sheriff's Office are conducting a full-scale inquiry, comma, and an autopsy later in the day should establish positively the cause or causes of death. Period. That's it.
Got it.
Tell the lab they got a picture they can get off the state cops for the late edition.
Right.
It isn't pretty, Irma. Hey, can you buzz upstairs?
Sure.
City desk.
How are you?
Where the hell have you been?
Did you miss me?
I've been waiting since 11.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I just got done.
Where are you?
In Waukegan.
I thought you were going to the zoo, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah. They stole my engine. Well, he stood me up. I'm up here on these drowning deaths.
Will you be back today?
I think so. Yeah, I'll call you.
Will you?
Yeah.
Good.
Bernie?
What?
What did you do?
What?
What did you do?
I left the drawer open. I'm sorry.
You cannot leave the drawer open in the day.
I know, I'm sorry.
Do you want that chemistry set?
Yes.
All right, then.
Take this, read about it.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
What is it, Pops?
Believe this.
What is it?
Sit down. I'm going to read you this. Free day at the exposition. Monday, Wednesday, Friday afternoons to anybody under 12 and accompanied by an adult.
Yes.
You want to go?
Yes.
Then watch the cash.
Mailman!
And what have you got for us today?
And it seems I've got one for you.
Ah, gee.
And so we leave the Hall of Science, the hub of our Century of Progress exposition. Science, yes, the greatest force for good and evil we possess, the concrete poetry of humankind. Much is known, and much will yet be known, and much will not be known, as we complete our second 1,000 years. In the dilapidated office buildings and in rooms in railroad hotels, in torn and filthy manuscripts misfiled in second-hand bookstores, here rest the vestiges of this and other cultures. Arcane knowledge in transition from the inaccessible to the occult as we rush on. Technological and ethic masterpieces decay into folktales. Who knows what is true? All people are connected.
One woman's are the plans for a machine which she was told would run on water as its only fuel. A man in Tacoma received $7,000, but he lost his life because he broke the chain.
Hey, Pops.
What?
Look what I got in the mail.
The fair is closing. Those who wish re-entry to the hall at half price, see me for a ticket. This is our last tour tonight. They're good tomorrow, though.
As we rush on 1934, from shore to shore a beacon of light shines from the plains of old Illinois. All the world's watching Chicago tonight. Step right up and witness the wonders, promises of a new day at dawn. But don't delay, come share in our future, 'cause what's here today may tomorrow be gone. And who's to say what will fade away or what will someday live on? We all must make our way as we rush on, as we rush on,
as we rush on 1934. From shore to shore, a beacon of light shines from the plains of old Illinois. All the world's watching Chicago, sweetheart. All the world's watching Chicago, sweetheart. All the world's watching as we rush on.
Tonight's production of The Water Engine by David Mamet was directed by Tony Simotas. Costumes and set were designed by Gail Brassard. The light design was by Matt Albrecht, and the sound designer was Matthew Sherwin. The cast included Andrew Dahl, Vera Varlamov, Ray Reddy, Barbara Clayton, James Carrington, Eddie Gray, Andy Talon, Megan Deese, Nicole Gottlieb, Emily Markinson, Howard Schwartz, Emily Tucker, Matthew Sherwin, and yours truly, Peter Bisson. The technical director was Dennis Dorn, and our stage manager was Rachel Parker. Thank you very much.
And our director, Tony Simotas, congratulations. Do you feel older or younger?
It's been one heck of a journey with this cast and doing it all as we did at the beginning of the year.
Normally, we have 5 weeks of rehearsal with this show, with a group of undergrads and a couple of mature actors thrown in there as ringers. We did it in 3 weeks. Normally, it's a five-week process. So these guys did a great job as undergrads. I'd like to thank them again. Wonderful work. Wonderful work.
And on top of that, you had radio thrown in, too.
We did. But I can't thank you enough, Norman, for your participation with this and Wisconsin Public Radio for making this possible. I mean, when you go through in a program, it's normal to feel like you're going to be up here on stage. But it was so exciting for us to think about radio as also a part of this, to see how they'd perform as voice actors. And Wisconsin Public Radio, and with your help, just they really did a great job for us. I can't thank you enough.
Well, it was our pleasure to have some live radio drama, too, as that's, of course, how it all began some, 80 years ago. Right. It was live radio, and that's what we got a dose of tonight. Does it make you want to try this again sometime?
I'm thinking, by the reaction of the audience and what's gone on, I would really look forward to next year when we do this again. I think it was a great partnership. And it really gives us the opportunity to really expand in the artistic community. And well, I think you guys, as a young organization, you could use us.
So hang on to this set. You might find it useful, this wonderful 1934 radio studio. It's some thoughts from a couple of audience members. Let's see, pulled more or less at random. The lucky participants are... Let's see, this is Gene Purcell. Have you ever seen a radio play before?
I have to say, I've never seen a radio play before. I've listened to a lot of radio plays, I've listened to a lot of radio drama, and I guess I've seen it in my mind, but I've never quite seen it like this.
Is it what you expected?
No. There's a lot more movement. I have to say, the part I enjoyed the most, I was watching the Foley guy a lot. And he was great. I mean,
he's a star.
And you may know this. I have attempted to do Foley work like that once.
Yes, you did a wonderful job with the after-the-fact mysteries for
wonderful
us.
Might be one way to describe it. I'm not sure I would use it.
I think you were right on. Well, my understanding is that our Foley artist tonight, Matt Sherwin, came into this thinking he was going to be the composer and wound up being a lot of other things as well. As the Foley artist, of course, got to play the theremin in there, very atmospheric.
Yeah, it was terrific. It was great, great fun. Well, and I would strongly encourage Tony to work on something like this again, because I'd come to see it and listen to it.
Well, all right. I hope that you start listening as early as tomorrow night, as we're going to have some more old-time radio. Won't be live this time. It will be definitely vintage stuff. But there's an extra wrinkle, and I wanted to ask Cindy Schuster here a little bit about that, as she's going to be on with me tomorrow night when we do old-time radio. And I should mention that we have a radio that's just right in keeping with this time frame, don't we, that we're going to try to...
We do. It's a very special gift to a very special audience member out there who decides to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. 1935 Belmont Radio, tombstone style tabletop radio. It's been restored. It's functional. It picks up AM radio waves as well as short wave radio waves, and it can be yours tomorrow night on Old Time Radio.
And what a great way to enjoy, you know, the glow of the radio than with a 1935 tombstone Belmont. Well, that's just one of the action-packed things you can expect tomorrow night if you tune in on Wisconsin Public Radio. Yet to come this Saturday night, yours truly, Johnny Dollar. It's the fatal fillet matter, in which we find out that dinner with a friend can be a lot more complicated than we think. It's Bob Bailey as yours truly, Johnny Dollar, right after this, as old-time radio drama continues this Saturday night, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
Johnny Dollar.
Johnny, this is Ray Connolly.
Oh, yeah, over at Continental Insurance Company.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, what's the problem, Ray?
Problem? No problem at all, actually.
Oh?
Are you busy tonight, Johnny?
No, no plans at all.
Well, you see, my wife's out of town for a few days, and... Johnny, well, I wonder if you'd have dinner with me tonight. Can Can you do that?
Why, sure. Why not?
Good, good.
Just name the time and place, and I'll meet you there.
Well, I happen to have a nice thick fillet of prime beef in my refrigerator at home. And if you like steak...
Sure do.
Well, why don't you run over to my place at, say, 6, 6.30? I'll pour you a couple of cocktails, and we'll tackle that steak. Okay, Johnny?
Ray.
Yeah?
You're sure there isn't something that's bothering you?
6.30, Johnny?
Yeah, okay. But now listen...
Good, good. I'll see you then.
Well, why don't you...
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Each weekday on CBS Radio, there's a bright package of lively entertainment that goes by the modest title, Just Entertainment. It's where to find Pat Buttram, his cohorts, and his warm humor. Mr. Buttram is ably aided by lovely Marion Morgan and that singing foursome called the Halloran Quartet. Just for entertainment, sample Just Entertainment with Pat Buttram tomorrow on CBS Radio. Also on the recommended list, a fascinating fact-filled 10 minutes each weeknight with Ron Cochran. Recently, he's given the answer, please, treatment to listener queries on such topics as the Chesapeake Bay's Oyster War, the Irish Sweepstakes, Spring Fever, and Underseas Exploration of the Arctic. Be listening tomorrow night. Discover how you can ask Ron Cochran to give your question the answer, please. Just Entertainment and Answer, Please. One for facts, one for fun. Leave your dial set right where it is now to enjoy both these entertaining programs each Monday through Friday on CBS Radio. And now, Act One of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Continental Insurance Company Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the fatal fillet matter. There was something very funny about Ray Connolly's sudden invitation to have dinner with him, much less cocktails. I'd been at his office far too many times, had seen the bottles of pills that he kept in his desk, watched his secretary bring him a glass of milk at precisely 10:30 a.m. and exactly 3:15 p.m., had listened to the dull details of his ulcer-free diet more times than I can remember. So when Ray said cocktails... Oh, come on now, Dollar. Stop trying to build up a case out of nothing. And yet, for reasons that will be made clear later in this report, everything goes on expense account. Item one, $1.40 for a cab to Ray's apartment. It was 6:30 on the nose when I pushed the doorbell. Oh, and I decided that if he did have something bothering him, I'd let him get around to it in his own sweet time. I wished later that I hadn't...
Johnny, I'm glad to see you. Come in.
Yeah, how are you, Ray?
Well, you know how it is.
Those ulcers been kicking up on you again?
Yeah, a little. Sit down, Johnny.
Sure, thanks.
Now, what would you like, martini, Manhattan?
Got a plain old scotch and soda lying around?
I certainly have. Have it for you in a second. Never touch it myself anymore, of course.
You mean you're not drinking with me?
Maybe I'll have a glass of milk and... Let's see. Yeah. It's time for me to take one of my pills. There you are, Johnny.
Thanks. But did it ever occur to you, Ray, that if you'd stop worrying so much about that gut of yours, you might not have so much trouble with it?
Johnny, it's easy to see you never had an ulcer.
No, sir, and I don't ever intend to.
Well, if you were in my end of the business... There's something just happened that I want to tell you about.
Oh?
Yeah. Later. Incidentally, the steak we're having is the most beautiful thing you ever saw. Well, come on, I'll show it to you while I get a glass of milk.
Okay.
I guess my wife ordered some groceries sent over from Morris Bain's market before she left. I told you she's away.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, left yesterday. Well, the steak was delivered last night along with some other things. There. How about that?
It looks like you could cut that with a fork.
Prime beef. Excuse me, I'll get my glass of milk.
Sure.
Hey, how do you like your steak, by the way?
Only one way, blood rare.
Of course, I'll have to have mine rather well done. I'll just cut the fillet in half and it'll be no problem at all.
Ray, what about this thing that happened in the office you were going to tell me about?
Later, Johnny. Later.
Again, looking back, I wished that I'd pressed the point, but I didn't. Instead, I had another drink, watched him sip his glass of milk, listened to him complain some more about his pet ulcer, and then finally we sat down to dinner.
There we are. Isn't that the most beautiful steak you ever saw?
Oh, no.
Huh?
Ray, didn't you hear me?
What? Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I'm terribly embarrassed.
Well, brother, you ought to be. That looks like a piece of shoe leather.
Oh, and you said blood rare, and I forgot all about it.
Oh, Ray, you are a dog.
You're sure you can't eat it this way?
I'd rather chew up an old boot. Hey, listen, now, something's bugging you. Now, what is it?
Nothing, Johnny. Look, I'll go out and buy another one for you, huh?
And let yours sit here and get cold? No, no.
Oh, Johnny, I'm terribly sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead, Ray. Tear into it. I'll go out in the kitchen and see if I can find the makings of a sandwich. I could have killed him overcooking a perfectly good steak that way. But instead, I made myself a sandwich and stuck around. Because I knew that sooner or later, he'd tell me his real purpose in having me come over. And later he did. At least he started to. We had washed the dishes, then gone back into the living room. I had settled down with a third cup of coffee and a cigarette, and he was sipping in another glass of milk.
It's just that I don't like being threatened, Johnny.
Threatened?
Heaven knows I have enough trouble keeping this ulcer under control with just the daily run of problems I have to face at the office.
Oh, what do you mean by
threatened? You know, people demanding more from their insurance than they deserve. People filing claims when they aren't entitled to any insurance at all, and then trying to... Oh!
What?
Nothing, Johnny. I'll be all right.
You forget to take one of your pills, Ray?
No, but maybe I better take another.
Oh, yes, me. You're taking too many of them. But what was this talk about being threatened?
Well, Johnny, this fellow by the name of... Oh, no.
Ray.
Johnny!
Ray, what's the matter?
This pain in my stomach. It's killing me.
Easy. Oh. Here, let me get you on the sofa.
Oh, medicine, quick, please.
There you are. Now, what medicine?
Anything to stop this. Johnny,
I grabbed the telephone and called Dr. Ramsey. But because of a traffic tie-up, it was nearly half an hour before he got there. Meantime, Ray lay on the sofa getting paler and paler until he was white as a sheet. The doctor, completely familiar with Ray's ulcer problem, did what he could. But after 40, 45 minutes, realized things were getting beyond his control, so he called an ambulance. Another half hour. And yeah, by the time they got him to the hospital, in spite of injections and oxygen along the way, Ray Connolly was dead.
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. Tibet in the news. Who's an expert on Tibetan affairs? Who was the personal guest of the Dalai Lama in happier times at the top of the world? Why, Lowell Thomas, of course. Ask us another part of the world, and there's every chance the answer again would be Lowell Thomas. The roving raconteur has been just about everywhere, seen just about everything. So when a story breaks, he has that extra edge of intimate first-hand experience to give extra dimension to his reporting. One of the most colorful men in the industry... One of the most striking different sounds on the CBS radio network is Lowell Thomas, heard every Monday through Friday evening with his fascinating reporting. Only a network could bring you a Lowell Thomas. Only the CBS radio network does. Remember the keen mind and formidable experience of this noted world traveler, lecturer, raconteur, and CBS newsman is an exclusive with the affiliated stations of CBS radio. Monday through Friday evenings, don't miss Lowell Thomas. And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Fatal Fillet Matter.
Yes, Mr. Dollar, I knew that Connolly's ulcer condition was serious. I've been treating him for a couple of years, but I certainly never believed this could happen.
What it means is that he bled to death. Is that it, Doctor?
Yes, internal hemorrhage. But of such intensity, I don't understand it. And yet, well, let's face it, Dollar, this sort of thing has happened before.
Has happened before?
Yes.
Doctor, you may be right about that.
Well, of course I am.
But not in the way you think. I went back to Ray's apartment, let myself in with a key I'd filched out of his pocket, then went over every inch of the place. And I came up with nothing. Nothing, that is, until I went into the kitchen. There I saw for the second time the bag of groceries that his wife had had delivered from Bain's Market, from which Ray had taken only one thing, so far as I knew. The steak he'd eaten that night. Yeah, and he had eaten every bit of it. I dumped them out on the table, made a list of them. Then I noticed something else on the table. It was a cheap gold-plated cufflink with the initials XD on it. Early the next morning, I talked with Morris Bain, proprietor of the food market.
Insurance investigator?
That's right, Mr. Bain.
Well, no, Joe, just call me Morris. That's what my customers do.
Okay, Morris. Well?
Oh, of course. I'll be glad to cooperate, Mr. Dollar, every which way I possibly can.
Good. Now,
the
all I want to know...
The shelf on the left, Julius, right over the salad dressing. I got to keep... Canned snails I got to keep for some of my special customers. But how people can eat those, I don't know. Oh, good morning, Mrs. Beckham. It's a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, Morris...
Oh, yeah, you wanted information.
Eh? Yes.
Oh, Mrs. Vandersloot, how are you, huh? How's your nice little doggy this fight? No, get him out of here before he's up. No, get outside. Out. Oh, what's your problem with dogs in the store?
Yeah, I'm sure. But now, do you have a customer by the name of Connelly?
Mrs. Connelly? Sure, lovely woman. She was in here only the other... Oh, how do you do, Miss Keener? How's my little sweetheart today, huh? We got a special on those fancy canned chestnuts
Morris,
and the light syrup that you
me.
Like.
Mrs. Yeah? Connelly was in here when?
The day before yesterday. Oh, how's her husband, Mr. Dollar? Is he still suffering from those terrible ulcers?
No, not anymore.
Oh, it's a miracle.
Hardly. The point is, she ordered some stuff from you.
Yeah, that's right. We delivered it, too, day before yesterday.
What? What did she order?
Well, right here in the office, Mr. Dollar, I'll tell you exactly what went over there, but exactly.
Good.
You wanted breakfast cereals, madam, right there in the second aisle. Yeah, you're welcome. Now, right here in this pile of bills is the one for whatever the... Here we are. Mrs. Ray Connolly.
Good. Let me compare it with the list I have.
Sure. Julius! Julius, take care of Mrs. Freeband there by the cheese. Such a time I have with her help. And such an exclusive clientele, you have no idea. Well, did you find what you're looking for?
Yeah. Everything checks. Except for one thing. The steak you delivered.
Steak?
That's right. A prime filet. But it's not on the list.
We don't sell meat.
What?
No, of course not. Sadie! Sadie, double-check the Hathaway order. Somebody made a mistake last week.
Wait a minute.
That's a good girl.
You're sure your delivery boy didn't take a steak to the Connellys?
How could he?
Oh,
no,
well, thanks anyway, Morris.
No, it's a pleasure anytime.
Be seeing you.
Yes, sure. Sadie, did you deliver the Broomfield order, Sadie?
So.
To do it right
now
away?
We try a different tack. Item 2 or 3, whatever it is, a dime for a phone call to Dr. Ransom. I suggested he take whatever steps were necessary to make a complete examination of the stomach of the now deceased Ray Connolly. Item 4, 85 cents for a cab to the office of Continental Insurance. Ray's secretary had obviously been crying.
I just can't believe it, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, I know, Gracie. Now listen, did any of the people who've come here to see him ever threaten him?
Threaten him?
That's right.
Well, lots of people have threatened lots of things when they didn't feel their claims were met properly, but he was the fairest, the most honest man... When, Mr. Dollar?
Somebody in here yesterday, maybe?
Yes, there was a man in here yesterday who was very angry about something.
Oh?
I could hear him pounding the desk in there and swearing.
Who was he?
I don't know. He must have come back with Mr. Connolly after lunch, and I didn't see him leave, but look, he lost a cuffling.
A cuffling? Let me... XD.
What?
Gracie, this is the man I'm looking for. Can you find me a policy with this man's name on it?
Just from these initials with all the policies on file?
Probably a beneficiary whose claim was settled or refused.
You say the man, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, Gracie. The man who murdered your boss.
Act 3 of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment.
Be sociable.
Friends
drop in. Let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately? And now, Act Three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account item five, another dime for another call to Dr. Ransom. Yes, the autopsy had been made. And yes, they had found enough ground glass in the stomach of Ray Connolly to kill three men. That's why Ray, with his ulcer condition, had gone so fast.
While he was with you, Johnny, the police would like very much to talk to you.
Well, certainly they don't think I did it.
Well, of course not. At least,
Yeah? Well?
Well, after all, you were with him at the time when he ate that filet.
Okay, Doc. I'll get in touch with him. Item six, 10 cents for another call to Ray's secretary at Continental Insurance.
Yes, Mr. Dollar, I have.
Nice going, Grace. What's his name?
Xavier Donato. The folder was still at Mr. Connolly's desk.
Donato. And the address?
13425 Sunset.
Sunset, got it.
And listen, the reason he was angry with Mr. Connolly...
Yeah?
He was named as beneficiary of his father's life insurance policy.
Yeah?
But his father just committed suicide, you see what I mean?
Yeah. Donato couldn't collect.
Yes. I mean, no, he couldn't. So...
Gracie, you're a doll. Item seven, $2.50 for a taxi to the address filed on Sunset Avenue. It turned out to be an old ramshackle rooming house in a pretty lousy neighborhood.
Sure, look for yourself, but I tell you, he ain't here anymore.
When did he leave?
Yesterday morning, bag and baggage. There you are, see for yourself. Now, don't tell me he's still living here.
Well, I can't say that I blame him.
What's that?
Have you any idea where he might have gone?
If I did, I'd send the cops to get the rent he owes me.
The cops will want him for a lot more than your rent, lady.
Yeah? What's more than that?
Murder. Item 8, another phone call to police headquarters. I talked with Sergeant Jimmy Maxwell in homicide. Only I listened more than I talked.
Cufflinks, huh? With the initials XD on them?
That's right.
What's the idea of not telling us before? As if you didn't know it, that's withholding evidence. And in a murder case... Hey, look, that's another thing, Dollar. If you suspected murder, why didn't you call us in instead of having that doctor order the autopsy? You trying to hide something?
Are you kidding?
Where are you anyway? We've been combing the city for you. As if you didn't know, you got a little explaining to do down
here. Hey, look.
And listen... Who do those initials XD stand for?
Well, if you let me get a word in edgewise, I might tell you.
Well?
The D stands for Donato. The X for Xavier.
Xavier? What kind of a name is that?
Xavier, if you want to say it that way.
Oh, boy, that's a rare one. You got his address?
He just left the place where he was living, so he's probably 1,000 miles away. But... Xavier?
Huh?
Of course, and right under my nose.
What? Johnny!
Maybe I should have told him more, everything I knew. But I didn't want to have to wait for the police or anybody else. Ray had been a friend of mine, and to bring his killer to justice was all I cared about. As for that name, Xavier, of course I'd heard it, only a few hours before. And for some stupid reason, it had never occurred to me that it began with the letter X. Item 9, $1.50 for another taxi. This time to the... Yeah, you guessed it. Excuse me, please.
Julius,
pardon me, will you please, madam?
What do I gotta tell you? You pack the vegetables on top.
Morris.
On the bottom, huh?
Morris, come over here.
Mr. Dollar. You're back so soon already?
Now, listen, when I left you early this morning, just as I was leaving, I heard you call somebody by the name of Xavier.
Yeah, you mean that slowpoke, huh? That dumb, stupid...
All right, is he still here? What's his last name?
His last name?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, his last name, it's... Sadie, how many times I gotta tell you when a customer's got a complaint?
Well, this one has.
What? No,
Xavier.
Mr. Dollar.
Xavier Donato.
You looking for me, mister?
You're Xavier Donato?
Yeah. What do you want?
I just want to show you a couple of cufflinks. Here. Are these yours?
Yeah, mine.
Then don't try to pull a gun.
Me? I got no gun, mister.
I found one of these in Ray Connolly's office.
Sure. I got mad. I slam bang on the desk at him.
I found the other one at his apartment, where you delivered that steak to him. That steak full of ground glass. Where'd you get that steak?
Wilson's Prime Market, along the way to his place.
Then you put in the glass and took it up to him.
Yeah. That was pretty good, huh? Say, you from the cops?
You expecting the cops?
I don't know.
But you didn't run. You didn't leave town.
Sure, because I'm smart. You leave town, they know you done it. They chase you, they catch you. And honest, I didn't know it was going to kill him.
You know it now.
But I had to get even. You know, because he wouldn't give me that insurance because my old man killed himself. So did my grandpop and his old man. Just because they didn't get something they want.
You mean they all committed suicide?
Sure. Because it was all, you know, off in the head. But not me. You understand? Because I'm smart. Somebody does something against me like that insurance, I get even with them. You understand? I don't go kill myself. I get even with them. And you think they're going to find out? No. You think they're ever going to catch me?
What do you think?
Oh. You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Gee. I guess you're even smarter than I am, mister.
Yeah. Come on, Savior. Prison? I doubt it. Not with a family history like that. But there are institutions for his kind. I'm sure he'll spend the rest of his life in one of them. And maybe, by studying his case, the doctors, the psychologists can learn more about helping such people before they go off the deep end. Expense account? Forget it. Ray Conley was my friend. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Our star will return in just a moment. A good college education has a lot to do with your future. Whether you're a student, a parent, a college alumnus, a prospective employer, or just an average citizen, you have a stake in the future health of our colleges. The future security and well-being of our nation depends on them. Now is the time to help by contributing to the college of your choice. Just as our elementary and high schools have become overcrowded, so now our colleges are threatened by the increased school population. Funds must be forthcoming now to expand college facilities and hire more professors. Otherwise, our colleges will be unable to handle the millions of future students seeking entrance. If we're to improve our standard of living and maintain our free way of life, we must have greater college facilities and have them now. For more information, write for a free explanatory booklet to Higher Education, Box 36, Times Square Station, New York 36. Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, a pair of twins. And believe me, they bring me a double dose of trouble. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, D.J. Thompson, Jack Edwards, Marvin Miller, Larry Dobkin, Harry Bartell, and Frank Gerstle. This is Dan Cubberly speaking.
That was Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, The Fatal Filet Matter, with a recipe for murder, you might say, or at least, what would it be? Manslaughter? Unintentional manslaughter? Something like that? Well, we'll leave that to the legal experts. And I suppose also the insurance people to sort out. Bob Bailey, the one, and I'm tempted to say the only, Johnny Dollar, certainly the best of the several actors who played the part over the years. In The Fatal Filet Matter, it came to us from May 11th, 1959, and he was in there with many other great radio voices. Next up, get ready to walk into the inner sanctum with Dead Man's Deal. It's right after this, as old-time radio drama continues here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.